Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dave, I mean, man, we were all so high on Baker coming into the season. I don't remember where you had him ranked going into the season, but like if you look at consensus rankings from fantasy football experts, he was fourth, fifth, or sixth. He's a disaster right now.
Yeah, I had him ranked 84th. Yeah, I of course I had nowhere. I'm kidding.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I had him fifth. I thought that, you know, pairing with Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, and the rest of the group that they had would make them better. And yeah, it's funny how the little things like offensive linemen, which are, you know, they're not little, they're big guys, but people don't think about that all the time. And maybe we were a little guilty of that too. We thought that, and I did think that the offensive line would be capable. I was a big fan of, and I still am a big fan of Joel Bitonio, and I think J.C. Treader is good. But losing Zeitler hurt, and just not having quality starters up front, it's kind of frazzled Baker, I think. And there are still times, listen, I still see times where he looks like he's worthy of being a number one overall pick. There are still some great throws. Odell had two drops yesterday. Don't get me started on Antonio Callaway and that
tip
drill he had at the goal line. Listen, you guys have been talking about it all day long. Fantasy managers have had enough. They can't trust Baker Mayfield moving forward, and so they're going to cut him off their teams this week. And you know what? With the Browns' bye coming up soon, it makes sense to make that cut now, find a different quarterback to go with this week, even somebody like Gardner Minshew or Kyle Allen or even Andy Dalton, and then you can double back toward Baker Mayfield in a couple of weeks or trade for somebody else down the line.
We're talking with Dave Richard, our fantasy football guru. All right, Dave, let's talk about the Kansas City Chiefs running back situation. Damian Williams came back this week. He had the majority of the touches and the majority of the snaps. LeSean McCoy played a lot less. In fact, I think he and Darrell Williams were close in terms of snaps, but neither had many touches. I don't think Darrell Williams had any or very few. What do you make of that backfield going forward?
It's a mess is what I think of it. And it seemed to me like Andy Reid didn't want to punish Damian Williams for getting hurt and therefore gave him back the starting job to see what he could do. And then LeSean McCoy gets his opportunity and he fumbled it away. He still came right back in. Reid said after the game that the reason why LeSean didn't play more was because of pass protection issues. I don't know if I believe that. I don't know what to believe in that backfield. But more importantly, just like the Browns, the Chiefs have some offensive line concerns. And those concerns aren't going to go away anytime soon. And it's going to make it harder for them to run the football, which means somebody like Damian Williams might actually be the better running back there because he's a better pass catcher. He knows what his assignments are. He knows his routes better than LeSean McCoy, who joined the team, remember, right before the season started. So it could be a back-and-forth deal. When LeSean McCoy played, he didn't even see 50% of the snaps in any game anyway. The other Williams, whether it was Damian in weeks 1 and 2 or Darrell in weeks 3 and 4, they were seeing about 50 to 55% of the snaps, and LeSean McCoy would get the rest. I think that's going to be the recipe moving forward, and it might behoove people to have some confidence in Damian Williams, but I just keep thinking back to how LeSean McCoy played when he did have the opportunity. I thought he played better than Damian Williams, and it could just be a matter of time. So maybe you trade for LeSean McCoy on the low, or if you have LeSean McCoy on your team, just hang on to him because I think he will rebound and have some really good games moving forward.
All right, let's talk, Dave. DJ Shark in Jacksonville, one of the best receivers statistically to this point. Are we buying what Minshew Mania and Shark are doing down in Duval County?
I've been buying it for a couple of weeks now. And 2 weeks ago, and that's really when it sold me, it was week four now against Denver. Tough matchup. He was one-on-one against Chris Harris a lot of the game. He scored on Harris and then had the play called back on a ticky-tack penalty on one of his teammates. He also was really close to catching the deep ball on the Broncos. The ball was just slightly thrown out of bounds. And the one thing I recognized about Minshew right away was that he is a better thrower to the sidelines and outside the numbers than he is necessarily inside. I think he likes those sideline routes, and that's where you're going to find DJ Chark a lot. He's tall. He's big. When you watch him play on TV, he looks like a,
a Tyrannosaurus Rex out there, and then he runs like a gazelle. So he's got a lot of the traits that you look for in a receiver. He's got a quarterback that knows how to throw the routes that makes him great. He gets end zone targets every week. He gets deep ball throws every week. There's a ton to love about DJ Chark. This is not your Blake Bortles Jaguars passing game anymore, fellas. He is a number two fantasy receiver moving forward, and I like him, especially this week against the Saints defense. Yeah, they played well the past couple of weeks, but they're a different type of defense when they're on the road. And I think Jacksonville is going to have a chance to win the game against the Saints, and I think DJ Chark is going to be a reason for it.
Well, Dave, you are a Floridian, so I'll stay in the state of Florida and ask you a Tampa Bay question. Chris Godwin, sure. Mike Evans, who are you taking going forward?
The thing that I see when I watch them play is that Godwin gets in and out of his route faster than Mike Evans does. Now, I don't know if that means that Mike Evans is a bad receiver, because I don't think he's necessarily slow. I just think Godwin's faster. And I think that Mike Evans, when he's facing one-on-one coverage, Jameis is going to throw his way a lot. Jameis used the excuse for why he only threw at Evans three times last week, that he was getting cloud coverage, double teams, and that he had to go in a different direction with the football, which, good on Jameis. He doesn't want to force the ball and create a turnover. He's trying to learn to stop doing that. And he's learned to lean on Chris Godwin. Once defenses realize that they can't double-team Mike Evans anymore because they're going to get destroyed by Godwin, you're going to see coverage lighten up. So I wouldn't be terribly worried about Mike Evans. I think the matchup this week could still be a little rough for him. James Bradbury is going to see him a lot when he does line up outside. But if the Buccaneers somehow change it up and put Godwin more on the outside, you might see Bradbury cover him, and then maybe it's double-team coverage opposite him on Evans. Could make things really hard. It might melt Jameis' brain if that happens. But the bottom line is this. I think the bounce back is going to come for Evans, and I think he'll be able to stabilize as maybe a number two receiver in the short term with a chance to be a number one in the long term. So I let's put it this way. I would panic more on Odell at this point than I would on Mike Evans. And that's saying something, considering that, well, I mean, both these guys have only had one really good game all year. But Odell is the clear number one in Cleveland, whereas Mike Evans has to share that title now with Godwin.
Let me just jump in on the Odell stuff, Dave, and I'm curious your take, too, as kind of an outsider who watches this and studies it maybe more than we do at times. You know, Odell, to me, last 2 weeks, I feel like they're forcing him. You know, the reverse passes, putting him in the backfield, I feel like they can't get the football to him in traditional standard ways. And so just to kind of, I think, keep him interested, they're trying all this other stuff, which also is not working. I'm concerned about the long-term viability of Odell Beckham in Cleveland with this offense, because it's just not working.
I was posed the question, is Odell Beckham a buy-low candidate in fantasy? And the first thing I did was I looked at the schedule, believe it or not, because I don't think the offensive line can be salvaged. I think the offensive line kind of is what it is, and the fact that they can't use deeper drops for Baker and use longer throws off of those deeper to get Odell open and take advantage of his speed, I think that that's an obvious detriment to what he's doing. There are some tough games in the Browns' future, and I think this one against Seattle coming up this week is going to be one of them. I might be able to circle four, maybe five games on the schedule where I'd feel really good about Odell's chances of playing like a number one fantasy receiver. 7 catches, 100 yards, and a touchdown. The things that maybe we thought he could do consistently when we were drafting this year. That's why we took Odell with a top 20 pick in every single draft. Now I'm not so sure he can do that any more than, like I said, 4 or 5 times the rest of the way. And if the line continues to devolve and Baker continues to struggle because of the pressure put on him, those 4 or 5 games might look more like 1 or 2. And so if you've got Odell, I think you have to strongly consider the idea of getting what you can for him now. And I know that sounds really, really strange because we're talking about one of the best receivers in football, but things just don't seem to be clicking. And the longer you wait to trade him, the less you're going to get in return, unless or until he starts to piece together some good games. So I'm a little nervous when it comes to Odell. I've got him on a couple of my teams. I don't know if I'm going to trade him and just take Curtis Samuel and Carlos Hyde for him. I think I'm going to need something significantly better than that. But if I'm 2 and 3, I need some starters on my team. Heck yeah, I'm trading Odell Beckham and getting what I can for him and just moving forward with my fantasy roster, hopefully with a couple of better starters on the team.
Dave, literally as we speak, a guy in one of my leagues made me a trade offer, and it's a terrible, terrible offer he made me. You ready for this?
Yeah, let's hear this.
He offered me I asked him earlier. I made him an offer from Mark Ingram, and he didn't like my offer. So I said, "So what do you want? What do you want for Ingram?" And he says, "I want Aaron Jones or Austin Eckler and Carson Wentz in a two quarterback league."
Oh yeah, terrible.
I said those guys are. And I know we're not sure about Eckler going forward, but the first game with Gordon, he still put up huge numbers. Now, even last year, he was a running back too with Gordon. He'll be at least that this year, minimum, right? So, I mean,
well, he'll be a low end. Well, it depends on your scoring too,
yeah.
Cole, because you play in a league where catches count. And so
yes.
Last week, when he has 15 catches,
right,
he's outstanding. But in a non PPR league, man, you're looking at those catches and you're thinking to yourself, what happened? How did he only get me 6 fantasy points?
Yeah. All right, let's get to some fan questions. You ready?
I woke up this morning ready.
I like it. I like it. Oh, boy. How about this? This is a tough spot for the first question. Brian, 1 point PPR. His tight end situation is Everett or Seals Jones? I know Everett had a big game last week.
It's Everett all the way.
Yeah.
You know, I knew that Seals Jones wasn't going to – and I liked what I saw from him 2 games ago, but as soon as Jarvis Landry cleared concussion protocol, I knew that it was going to be hard for RSJ to carve out a role, especially with Antonio Callaway coming back. So you can definitely dump him. And by the way, that's the position that's going to be big off waivers this week. It's tight end. Hunter Henry is still available in about half of CBS Sports League.
Yeah.
A lot of people dropped him because they thought he'd be gone for a long time. He's starting to practice. The countdown is on. You're going to see Hunter Henry back on the field for the Chargers soon. I love the idea of grabbing him and stashing him whether you need a tight end or not. Gerald Everett is unowned across the board. I think it's only 3% of leagues. His playing time has been up over the last month. I think you're going to see him continue to have a chance in the Rams offense to put up numbers, and that'll be helped if Brandon Cooks doesn't play in week 6 because he's dealing with a concussion. And then Chris Herndon is another tight end that is finally coming back to the field this week. We think he's going to play. We're expecting him to play, and he could end up being a pretty decent PPR tight end for the Jets now that Sam Darnold is back too.
In PPR, Will asked, drop DJ Moore, McLaren, or Golden Tate for Gallup? How is Gallup still available?
He's still out there in about a quarter of CBS Sports Leagues.
Yeah.
So you've got to get him if you're in any of those leagues, and dropping Golden Tate is the perfect move.
Yeah. How much fab money is he? I guess you don't know his budget, but what percentage? Maybe?
No, but let's just say that he's got 90 of 100 left. I would imagine that fab budget would probably be gone by 30 to 35% on Gallup. He would be a priority.
Jason needs 2: Thielen, Hill, and Shark. That's a tough call.
Give me the names again, real quick.
Thielen, I assume Tyreek Hill, and Shark. Assuming Tyreek comes back.
If Tyreek comes back, then you got to sit Shark. But it's real close, and you're lucky to have all those receivers.
Andrew asks, who is your favorite buy low wide receiver running back? Also, would you trade Robert Woods or hold on to him?
You know, I think my favorite, I don't know if he's my favorite buy low receiver, but Stephon Diggs, is just his name is getting dragged through the mud, and his numbers aren't that great. If you can acquire him, you're doing so probably at a wide receiver 3 price. So I would say that there's definitely a chance on him. I think people are getting sick and tired of Joe Mixon. I think he's a terrific buy low guy as well. Those are 2 players I would buy low on. What was the other half of that question?
The Robert Woods, hold on to him. Or trade him.
Yeah, of course. What are you going to do? You're going to cut Robert Woods and help somebody else in your league win?
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Yeah. All right, rapid fire. Here we go. Jeff says, I have Tevin Coleman waiting for his return. Is he a must-start in a PPR?
Yes.
Okay. Xavier asks, should I trade T.J. Hockenson or should I trade Tariq Cohen for T.J. Hockenson?
That sounds like a trade that will make absolutely no difference for the rest of the year. Sure. If Hockenson clears concussion protocol and he's back on the field, I'd rather have him.
Eckler or Mack? Doesn't say if it's a PPR.
Well, Mack's not playing this week.
Oh, they're on a bye, right?
It's going to be Eckler.
Yeah, right.
So, right. But rest of season,
Mr. Fantasy over here.
Marlon Mack.
Yeah. Let's see. Brett's asking a trade in the PPR. Julio for Fournette. Who'd you rather have?
I'd rather have Julio, but it's really close between those two.
Everett or Jimmy Graham
Everett.
This week? There you go. Everett. Dave, good job out of you.
Dave, you're the expert, man.
I saw the new trade chart is up.
I got to win, by the way, Dave.
I'm not surprised.
I know, because I'm an expert.
You're the golden child of fantasy football. No one works.
And I'm now targeting DJ Shark, thanks to you.
What do you mean targeting? He's not a free agent.
You're a little
late on
that.
Trade for him.
We're going to have to find you some more receivers to go after.
I know.
There you go.
You're
all right, Dave.
Awesome.
Good job out of you. You got what's going on CBS? Anything tonight?
Well, it sounds like I'm about to get arrested, but actually that's not the case. All right, listen.
Careful, Dave.
Everything is going great right now at CBS. The trade chart is up. The cut list is up. Later this week, start sits, sleepers and busts, all the stuff that you're going to need to win in week six in fantasy. And, of course, tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern on CBS Sports HQ, we will do a full onslaught on the waiver wire, who to add, who to drop. I talked about the tight ends already, quarterbacks, running backs, receivers, all the positions that you need to fill to get your team ready to go next week to dominate the way that Dustin dominates
his
fantasy league.
And unlike,
follow my lead, folks.
And unlike the Miami Hurricanes.
That was a hell of a game, Dave. That game was
what a comeback!
Oh
right?
My! And by the way, I'm sorry to cut you off, Dave. There should have been a second left in the clock.
I don't get me started.
I know. It was a hell of a game. Fun game to watch. Virginia Tech sucks.
Yeah, another
Miami sucks worse.
Well, they're just
At least they have those impressive wins over Bethune-Cookman.
Fuente is getting fired. Their coach
and Central Michigan.
Miami's going to be fine. Miami will be fine.
I mean, they only beat Central Michigan by 5 points.
Central Michigan is 3-2
right
now.
I'm aware of all of these things. It is tough to be a Hurricane alum these days, but we are getting by.
You'll be fine.
All right, Dave. We'll talk to you next week, buddy.
Guys, thanks so much. We'll talk to you.
Dave Richard, our fantasy football guru with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.